I'm going to be reading from 2 Samuel 6 this morning. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baalah-Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God. And Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs, lyres, and harps, and tambourines, and castanets, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of the Nacon, Uzzah reached out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him there because he reached out his hand to the ark, and he died there beside the ark of God. David was angry because the Lord had burst forth with an outburst upon Uzzah. So that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day. He said, "How can the ark of the Lord come into my care?" So David was unwilling to take the ark of the Lord into his care in the city of David. Instead, David took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. It was told to King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. I know most people think about that particular event in the Bible, and they think about David being naked, dancing in the street. He wasn't naked. He was wearing something. But the whole point is, he got excited. He got excited because he was finally doing God's will, where previously he had tried to move the ark by his will, which was not yet God's will. We're going to talk about some of that this morning. I know the sermon title says having a vision, and probably the first thing you thought of, well, we're going to talk about dream type visions, and that's not the case. We're going to talk about vision of our future, vision for the church. There's a small church in Rupert, Vermont. It's a 200-year-old church. There's a man named Howard Mudgett who wrote a history of this church. And in it, he records that in 1831, the citizens of Rupert first added a steeple and bell to their church. But something unusual happens, he writes. When the steeple was added, one agile Lyman Woodard stood on his head in the belfry with his feet toward heaven. Not much else is known about Lyman Woodard. He is remembered only for his little minor stunt that he pulled over 160 years ago. He took a small risk and did something that must have been somewhat embarrassing to the members of the church. After all, New Englanders are not supposed to act like that. Lyman was so excited about the improvement to his church that he had to find some way to express it. He was celebrating the victory of God. And that ties in with our scripture today because he got excited about something that was done for God. David got excited about something that was done for God. And you'll notice that this historical thing is telling about how New Englanders are not supposed to act like that. And how often in a Methodist church do you hear somebody say, "Amen," or "Praise the Lord"? Methodists don't do that. And I'm afraid if anybody did that, the rest of the congregation would turn around and look at them like, but you know, we should be doing that. If the feeling hits you because something in a song or something I said excites you, you should speak out and say, amen, hallelujah. You should let loose. Let God know you're excited. Because that's what it's all about. Being excited about God's vision for us, about where He wants us to go. And I mentioned here a couple of weeks ago in a sermon that the churches that are growing are these independent churches that tend to get excited about God. Where the mainline churches, the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, and the Methodists, are losing members. Is it because we don't get excited about God? Is it because we're too quiet in church? Maybe. We need to get excited. David had a vision. And great things happen when you have a vision. They can capture our imaginations. Our vision can bring us together for a common purpose. It's a rallying cry, something to get behind. You'll notice most businesses today, they either have a vision statement or a mission statement or something along those lines, because if they didn't, they would probably fail. If they didn't know where they were going, they would probably fail. Church is that important to us, just like a business is important to their owners. It's up to us to grow the church. It's up to us to bring people to the kingdom of God. Churches are extremely important in any community, in anyone's life. So important that in Vienna, Austria, they have a cathedral called St. Stephen's Cathedral. Beautiful church. Been there since the 13th century. During World War II, Vienna got caught in the crossfire. And the town was nearly destroyed. The church was half destroyed. But after the war was over, and the people in Vienna started to rebuild, the first thing they did was rebuild St. Stephen's Cathedral. These people didn't have a place to live. They probably didn't have a whole lot of food. The city is probably bankrupt. But they got enough money and workers together and enough materials that they rebuilt St. Stephen's Cathedral before they did anything else. Because they were that committed to God. They were that committed to the church. And God rewarded them for that. Vienna is a beautiful city today. One of the great tourist attractions. One of those places that you want to see because it's recovered and doing very well. But they rebuilt the church first because we have to rely on God first. We have to have that kind of vision and hope for us and for our church and for God. There's a young man named Alfonso Briones of the Philippines. He was at a training seminar for missionary pastors one day, or one week. But one day, he got this feeling inside of him. That evening, he went back to his hotel room, locked the door, got down on his knees, and he told God, "When I go back to the Philippines, I will make my church the fastest growing church in East Metro Manila. So help me, God." And that was his vision, because he had felt God put that vision in his heart. But, as typical, he had that little bit of doubting Thomas in him. So he didn't tell anybody about this vision that he had. Didn't even tell his wife, because he was afraid it might fail. So he started preaching when he got back to Manila. And in his preaching, he mentioned to the congregation, little congregation, "I have committed to God to let us win 200 souls for the Lord in 2 years' time." And a gentleman out in the congregation stood up and said, "Pastor, that's too small. We need to bring 500 souls to God." Of course, Alfonso was shocked because he had this in the back of his mind that this might fail. But anything that God has a part of, a vision that God puts in your heart, can't fail. And today, that church in Manila, that United Methodist Church in Manila, has 1,000 members because they followed God's vision and they believed in what they were doing. We need to have a vision. We need to have God's vision in our lives. King David finally had God's vision for his life. But the first time he tried to move that ark, he didn't. He had made that decision on his own. God was not with him. And that's why Uzzah died. And David got angry, because God wasn't with them that time. But when David started following God's vision, everything went perfect. He took the ark to the tent, got it all set up, rejoiced with the people in Jerusalem because God was with them, and he knew God was going to bless that city like he had blessed Obed-Edom's household. You just have to believe. Nothing is impossible with God. With God, all things are possible. You can't lose. All you have to do is be God's hands and feet and eyes and mouth and ears and get out there and do it. Let God guide you. Be excited about Christianity. Be excited about what we're doing. There's a young man named Steve Kern who, when he graduated from college, decided he was going to be well off. He had a vision. He was going to get the big house and the nice fancy cars and all those things that go with it. He went to work for an oil company. And where he relocated, he met and married his wife. And he thought he had this all whipped. But one day, his pastor took him to one of these poor parts of the community, one of these little volunteer mission things that they do. And somehow he got the feeling within himself that maybe that is what God wants him to do. But he just kind of let it go. A few years later, he was invited to go to El Salvador on a mission trip with the church. He didn't really want to go, but he did anyway. Because every time he prayed about it, he heard the words, "Go to El Salvador." Every time he prayed about it. So he went. And when he was there, he felt the call to become a missionary. So him and his wife decided they were going to quit their jobs, sell everything they have, and become missionaries in El Salvador. I don't know how much you know about missionaries. They have to get rid of all their possessions before they go into the mission field. They have to sell their house, their cars. They can't own anything. And that's what they did. But now this is a feller that was going to be well off and have the big house and the great car and all that. And he gave that all up because he felt God telling him to be a missionary in El Salvador. And they are still there today doing God's work, bringing people to God. Any of us can do that if we just listen to God and have God's vision within us. And when you have God's vision in you and things start to happen, you start seeing this vision become a reality, you get joyful and excited about it. And you get more reality and you get more joyful and excited about it. Because you can make it happen. Imagine, if you will, instead of a cross on the steeple, we put a lightning rod. Kind of a dangerous thing to do. Could burn the church down. But what I want you to think about is that that lightning rod bring us the energy from God to do our mission for His vision. The early church essentially got struck by lightning. The rushing wind that came into the upper room, and they all started speaking in tongues, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. They got kind of a virtual lightning strike. We need that kind of lightning strike in our churches today. We need to bring back that excitement. We need to bring back all the joy of being a Christian. We can make things happen. Jesus' brothers were in that upper room. It had kind of healed a few wounds, the resurrection and all that. But if you'll study the Bible, you'll find that Jesus' half-brothers were kind of embarrassed by Jesus. They didn't like what He was doing. They thought the things He were doing were too out there, too extraordinary. His mother might have been there as well, and she still was trying to figure all this out, try to get this straight in her mind. Sometimes you have to let things go. Don't worry about what they are. Don't worry about having to get them straight in your mind, because God will lead you where He wants to go. All you have to do is get excited about it. A few years ago, Tony Campolo was invited to preach at a Lutheran church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. A few days before that, he had attended a inspirational music festival, Christian music festival, with a bunch of younger adults. And the students kind of got to know him a little bit. So a bunch of them decided they were going to go hear him preach at this Lutheran church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Well, by the time they got everybody there, they had filled the sanctuary, filled the balcony. There was bunches and bunches of young adults in this Lutheran church. Well, he stands up there, and the first thing he says is, "Let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let us come into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." And somebody in the balcony stood up and said, "All right, all right." And then a few more people got up and started praising God. And finally, the whole congregation was up on their feet praising God. And he's standing there like, because you don't do that in a Lutheran church. But he had gotten them people excited. Those young adults were excited. They wanted to let everybody know they were excited. And it was contagious. One person started it and it grew to the whole congregation. Things like that can happen. All you have to do is believe. There's a story of a pastor who had gone to visit an elderly woman in a wheelchair in a nursing home, and he was getting ready to leave. And she asked him if he would come back and pray with her, pray that she'd be healed, which I kind of thought was funny when I read the story, because I always pray with somebody before I leave. But he came back, he kneeled down next to her wheelchair, and they prayed together and prayed for her healing and that she could get up and walk and do things again. And when they got done, she kind of whispered in his ear, "Help me to my feet." He didn't know what else to do, so he helped her to her feet, thinking, well, she's probably not going to stay there. She staggered a little bit, but after 15 or 20 seconds, she was on her feet, dancing and praising God. So the whole nursing home was wondering, what in the world is going on? That pastor hurried out to his car, closed the door, grabbed hold of the steering wheel, prayed a little prayer, "Lord, don't you ever do that to me again." There's nothing wrong with those things happening and being struck by lightning. If you truly believe your prayer is going to be answered and it's answered, Terrific. Why would you not want those kinds of things to happen? We need excitement in the church. We need lightning to strike the church. We need to follow God's vision. And when you're instilled with the Holy Spirit, there are three characteristics that are mainly within that Holy Spirit. There's power, there's vision, and there's presence. And if we think about power, there's all kinds of power in that. We don't have to worry about doing what we need to do. We don't have to worry about failing because there is power in that Holy Spirit that works through us. Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, painted a vision for them. This is what I want you to do. This is what I know you can do. He gave them a vision of God's kingdom, of spreading the gospel, of bringing people to God's kingdom, of serving. And they did. The church was born. We need that vision that comes from God. We need a vision that's going to just set our hearts racing and want to do this. We have to pray for that kind of a vision in this church. And in all of our churches, we need to pray that they have vision and want to grow God's kingdom, to bring people to God, save 500 souls. We can do that. Jesus was a master motivator. We hear about all these motivational speakers and things that they tell us to do and how we can be successful, but Jesus was an expert at it. He motivated the disciples. He motivated those people around him. He motivates us still today. And he had great patience because he led through love, not fear. And when James and John started arguing about who was going to be at his right hand and left hand, and Jesus caught hold of that and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" He didn't get angry with them. And when they expressed that they wanted to be on his right and left hand in his glory, he looked at them and said, "Are you sure what you're asking? Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized?" They really didn't know what they were getting into. But he didn't get angry with them. He didn't scold them. He simply, in a loving way, asked them, "Are you sure?" He was a motivator that way because he loved those people around him. He didn't strike fear in their hearts. They knew that he loved them, just like we know he loves us today. We have to find vision in the church. And if we pray about the church, we pray for God to show us how to bring people into his kingdom through this church, we can make it happen. We can bring people into this church. I'm going to read you something here. I mentioned before, I think, about reading a book called Transforming Church in Rural America. It's about a young minister named Shannon O'Dell who was appointed to this little country church that he really didn't want to go to. There weren't very many members. He's thinking, why? But that church today has thousands of members. They have, I don't know how many satellite churches. They have a satellite ministry that goes around the world because he stuck it out. He found God's vision and he made it happen. And these are some things that I got out of that book. It says, "This is critical because without belief, we will step right up to the edge of God-driven, God-dependent vision and then back away in fear, hiding behind pious corporate doubt. Pastors, leaders, and church volunteers often struggle to believe that the church can remove the church bully, that God can ignite a spiritual fire and revival within the church family, that God can provide the resources for faith-filled ministry, that God can use your church to reach the world, that God can change the way it's always been, that God cares about your church, that God can use us to change our community. And when we look at the challenges, we look at ourselves, we think to ourselves, who are we to think that God can use us to make a difference? And we need to change that thinking. We need to think to ourselves, we are who God can use to make a difference. Everyone likes change, except when it makes things different. So let's be honest, human beings do not like change. But change has to happen. What we want is yesterday, today, and tomorrow all tied up in one neat little package, a package that doesn't exist. I've been in churches where people would tell me, I remember when I was a youngster, we filled this sanctuary. They're living in the past. We need to live in today and tomorrow, and we can do the same thing. I think I may have mentioned before, there's a quote that he says, people are engaged to change, but they are married to their traditions. We have to be married to change. We have to be married to God's vision for our community, for our church, for each one of us. We have to get excited about God. We have to spread His word. We need to bring souls to God through this church or any church we can convince them to go to. I tell people, I don't care where you go to church, but it's important that you go to church. Because if you are a Christian, you will want to be in a Christian community with other Christians. That's all part of it. So we have to have vision. We have to pray for that vision. We have to pray for God to show us that vision. And we have to act on that vision. And we can make great things happen in this community and in this church. So now you've gotten my motivational sermon for the church. And I really truly believe everything I said. We can grow this church. All we have to do is believe, invite your friends and neighbors and whoever. And if you invite 10 people and one of them shows up, you've done a great thing. Because that one might become two, which becomes four, which becomes 16, and so on and so on. But you got to start somewhere. And we have to start by bringing people to God. Amen.